I know that the subject of drag queen working conditions probably isn't at the top of your list, but I think you're going to find this whole conversation pretty fascinating. You know, not one that you'd have every day, that's for sure. This is from the Independent. It's a blog out of the United Kingdom. They say here, the world of drag has always tangled with excess, with punters expecting performers to be at least a little bit sozzled. I guess these are British terms. And venues often offering queens free drinks along with their performance fees. For some queens, however, this can spiral into a serious problem. Then they go on to talk about some of the other libations that they engage in of a little stronger variety. And let me tell you what I see coming out of this little bit of propaganda. Well, a couple of things. First of all, I say to myself, wow, you know, this is quite the family environment that we're being sold on, bringing this into public libraries, schools, you name it. It's not just limited to bars and adult type entertainment, is it? They wanted to make it a family event, complete with excessive drinking and open drug use and encouraging everybody to do so, apparently, according to this. But there's another deeper, darker side of this, obviously, and that is the working conditions of the drag queens. I mean, they need to unionize. I mean, it's horrible. You know, these pioneers of justice, these justice warriors, these labor... You want me to stop? I don't know if I offended anybody with that. I don't know. Whatever happened to a proper time and a place? You know, a guy wants to dress like a woman. Hey, honestly, you're free to do so. It's not for me to say yay or nay to that. Just don't do it around my kids. Not because you can't or because you have to. Because it's the decent thing to do. Shouldn't we all be striving to do the decent thing? How can you say that when you support Trump? Okay. I'm not the one parading my kids around scantily clad drunken men. Just saying. Never have, actually. Never once. Never even thought about it, believe it or not. Oh, yeah. What are you going to do? Crazy world we're living in. Unionize. I'm going to lead the way. I'm going to champion the effort. What do you think? We're going to unionize. We have to come up with a good name. Boobs with no boundaries. I probably shouldn't talk like that. And say that around my daughter, I guess. So my wife, would you say that around your daughter? Oh, that's got to become the gold standard of everything that comes out of my mouth now. Yes. It was funny. We're at the book signing. And she watches very carefully how I interact with people. It's very, very amazing. It's fantastic. And I'm happy to accept the challenge. It's important to me to be a good parent. It really is. I'm not the best. I'm not perfect by far. All I can tell you is I do the best I can. I always have. And I get it wrong. I've screwed up and I'll make more mistakes. But I always have worked hard to have good relationships with my kids and adjust as they've evolved and as they've grown and whatnot and, grow, mature with them, if you will, as we all should be. That's the name of the game, right? Get a little bit better every day. I'm blessed with great kids. We didn't take them to drag parties, I can tell you that. The earthquake that hit here, I had done a little special feature on that. What was it? Friday, right? And that was cool. And that's just another little indication what I was saying to you, something I was hoping to do. It was not a big deal. And I kind of did it as a test. You know, was it that important to let everybody know we were safe from the earthquake? I don't think so. But I wanted to have the ability to respond like that if I desired. The equipment is in place. We did that full video, which I feel like we've really have tweaked. I asked my wife, I said, what do you think of this later iteration? And she says, that light, I'm pointing to the wrong. I can't point properly. Everything's in reverse there. That one, if you're looking on the video, I'm still in the wrong spot. Over there, I can't do it. It says podcast, recording studio. I can't even read it. How are you supposed to read it? But there's another nice feature. I just bumped the table. Maybe you heard it on the microphone. I doubt it because this setup is incredible as well. But the camera is all independent, so I can bump this and doesn't mess up the whole video. It's great. I got the books in the background, but that light, she's not happy with something, you know? I shouldn't say it like that. She's got a good eye. That's what I meant to say. Let me phrase that a little differently. I don't know. I like the light there. Maybe it's a little distracting. What are you going to do? You're going to sit there and look into my eyes the whole time? It'd be a little creepy, don't you think? I don't know. For people that watch videos like this, I find it a little surprising. And I look at the numbers on, say, Dan Bongino. He gets incredible views on his Rumble, like 1 million a show. And I don't believe it. I don't believe that a small percentage of them are watching the entire thing. There's just no way. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Anyway, I did the show on the earthquake, and it was actually pretty well received. A couple of people on Gab offered their prayers and support. I thought it was kind of funny. But you don't hear about it a whole lot. And we have had earthquakes. I can remember at least two here in my lifetime. I've lived here most of my life. One as a kid, I remember, and one maybe 15 years ago, less 12 years ago, something like that. And I was in a building, and I remember the column. I was like, man, and that building would have been ripe for a collapse. It was an old building and lacked the structural resolve to withstand an earthquake, that's for sure. We don't see a whole lot of it around here, but it does happen. I guess it can happen anywhere in the world. And it's just a weird convergence of all these weird things, from doors coming off of airplanes, the bridges, getting knocked down, to wars popping up out of nowhere, throwing a little earthquake, and suddenly church attendance is up. It's great for a church. Church, like, hallelujah. God is good. People are returning to church. Get me in the, they're like, sorry, we're full. No, I need a place. People are packed in the churches. Who would have thought? Anyway, wouldn't we be so lucky? Boston pushing for 15 to 20 mile an hour citywide speed limit after pedestrian deaths. What do you think of this idea? I wonder how many people would support it. Is it possible? I would imagine. I don't know what the laws are there, but what their state laws are in terms of this. In Pennsylvania, there's a state requirements, but I do believe that cities are the first class carve out exceptions. So I know, for example, here in Pennsylvania, I don't know what Massachusetts is like, but in Pennsylvania, the cities almost operate completely independently. Like Philadelphia, a first class city, I think it's the same for Pittsburgh. I think there's only two, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. But they operate with their own building codes. They have their own separate laws on things. It's very interesting how self-regulated the cities are, how absolutely ripe it is for corruption, man. Whew. It's one of the reasons the cities just, turn into the cesspools that they do. But anyway, here in Pennsylvania, I believe that the city of Philadelphia, if they wanted to do something like this, they probably could. And I mean, I look at what's going on in New York, how they've dramatically reduced the number of vehicular lanes. And it's nuts. Now, this is what democratically elected representative government does. They make these decisions. This is not constitutional and how lanes are set up and who has access to cars. And this is a consequence of a loony toony government that we have. What am I getting at? I ask you, what would be the perception? You think that lowering the speed limit in the cities would be a good thing? I'll just tell you this, that the so-called traffic improvements in New York City have created absolute mayhem up there. Find me one person that can speak positively of it. Who's it been good for? The bicyclists? Perhaps. But I'm not so sure about that either. I didn't know that they were having a problem. Why not simply change the laws for the electric bikes? Why aren't they working on that end? Register those things, let them have a higher speed limit. By law, they're supposed to be regulated at 20 miles an hour. I doubt any of those couriers are operating within those limitations. And what a great little business anyway. And we should be encouraging it. It's fantastic. These electric bikes running and delivering things around the city, everything from food to letters, packages, you name it. Put a little cart on the back. If you think about this, you could, and I've been arguing this for years, adjusting the DOT laws. You could put two of those in a lane versus one car, and probably four of those in the space of what one car would take in a travel lane. Per lane mile, probably quadrupling the amount of people you could move. That would be good for the city of New York. In my opinion, I'm no traffic engineer. I know a little bit about it. I know that dropping the speed limit like this, it's going to just create a crazy gridlock. Nothing has been set up for it. The light timings, the patterns, nothing is set up for that. It would create mayhem. And, why do we have these? Why don't we even look into what the causes of them are? How many of them are even attributed to the driver necessarily? And maybe it's in there. I didn't really look that deeply into it, but I doubt it. I doubt anyone is really taking a look at it. I think as a whole, my perception at least, I don't have any data to support this, but I think these pedestrian deaths are up. And you want to blame it on distracted driving. I think more of it's distracted walking than it is distracted driving. My observation is people don't know how to cross the street anymore. Forget about jaywalking. Just jump right out in front of the car. I see it all the time. We're going to blame the driver. Train. I know we're near a rail line here. The deaths are through the roof. The horns are so loud that the gates are down for so long, but yet the deaths continue to go up. I don't know. What do you attribute it to? People are distracted. They're not paying attention. Lost, really, in many ways. Speaking of lost, there's this case against Trump, right? These charges with the special counsel, Jack Smith, a judge down there. This Judge Cannon is a Trump appointee. And basically, you have a complete legal disagreement on whether or not Trump had the legal ability to declassify and consequently take these documents. And the president's lawyers have made their legal argument, yes, and the special counsel making his legal argument, no. I don't understand how all this turns into criminal charges at all, really. I have complained about the need for solicitor reform that if you, as a government official, paid or elected, and you rely on the advice of the solicitor, you have complete immunity by statute. The municipality, the jurisdiction has to provide it. State law. And embodied in every local law here in the Commonwealth. Now you're going to attack that. Now, I myself have argued that there has to be, you don't want to tear down the foundation of that because the officials have to be able to act without fear of lawfare that we see going on today. So how do you do that? Well, I said there needs to be oversight of the attorneys. It needs to be nonpartisan. They need to be regulated in some fashion, and where they've made wrong decisions, held accountable for that in some fashion, some kind of a system, some type of a reporting system, an appeal to a higher authority when there's abuse. And it has to be real and bona fide. This is basics of any just system. All right, you hear me talk about that. But here's what I found. They said that the special counsel could seek removal of the judge, calling it the nuclear button. And sure, he could file a motion with an appeals court to, have the judge removed. Isn't it funny that it's okay for the liberal media to suggest these things, but for Trump, if he even tries it, they just throw it out. More baseless. That's a baseless claim. You didn't hear the evidence. We didn't see it. There was no evidence. Yeah, we had boxes of it. None of that really was any evidence. Yeah, you didn't even look at it. There was nothing to see. It's like watching Laurel and Hardy, for God's sake. What else would you call it? I don't know. When Trump needs cash, a California bank and one of its top shareholders are providing the credit. Liberals are just so upset that anybody would dare do business with Trump. Many people do business with Trump, and more will be excited to. Health experts warn of a new bird flu threat, 100 times worse than COVID, according to a report. Who put this out, this propaganda? What's 100 times worse? This is the post-millennial. They don't have a good sense of where they're at politically. The emergence of a new strain of H5N1 avian flu initially detected in 2020 and affecting birds nationwide, including both commercial poultry and backyard flocks, has raised concerns in recent days. Recent developments indicate that the virus has spread to mammals, with cattle in four states becoming infected, according to the Daily Mail. The transition increases the likelihood of the virus becoming more transmissible. Stock up on your canned food supply now. Get a new mattress before it's too late. Here, the link will be in the show notes below. 480 deaths in 20. This is all just complete nonsense. I think what it is that anytime you put out any kind of a headline now that says anything about a pandemic, it just, it gets clicks or something happens. Something happens. I don't know what it is. They keep reporting on it, even if it's complete nonsense. 100 times worse than COVID. Is that a scientific term? In scientific terms. How so? Is the cough 100 times worse? Is it spread more? What does that mean exactly? No indication of any of that. Just 100 times worse than COVID report. They put together these words. You're left to piece together the meaning that you're going to do logically, and it's not at all what the article's doing. There's no report about 100 times worse than COVID, and there's no health experts. It's the Daily Mail. That's what they're reporting on. Government-funded database labels pro-lifers as terrorists. Who knows what that's about? Could be about a variety of different things. But I think the fact of the matter is that there are these lists, and there is this blacklisting, this censoring. We hear more and more of it. How long do we continue to put up with it? But I don't know that we have any option but to take it. What are you going to do about it? Would be the next question. So, you know, I think the bigger question is who are the people doing this? You know, liberals for every stretch. I mean, it's not being done at the hands of conservatives at all, right? It's all liberals. You could say the woke loonies. Who would do such a thing that you're going to say because somebody is pro-life that they're a terrorist? Now, I want to give you a couple sides of this tale a second. You got me, a Protestant, reformist, and I'm not a what you would call a pro-lifer. I am pro-life, but I really think government needs to stay out of it. Doctors, I think, I'm not sure. I'm kind of mixed feelings about this, and I'm not the person to resolve it. I think the path has to be considered very carefully. But I'm not a hardline pro-lifer, so I don't know if that keeps me off the terrorist list there. At the same time, I very much respect those pro-lifers. I really do. Now, there's a line to all that. I had a business Jewish partner, Jewish business partner, who I'm still good friends with today. This is many years ago. His father, God bless him, no longer with us, who I knew well, a guy named Joel, all right, incredible guy, was an abortion doctor. And it was always a little strange to me. You know, it was his biggest client base. They lived in a Jewish community outside of Philadelphia. Most of his clients were Catholics, by and large. Some black, but mostly Catholics. Interesting, right? And that apparently who's largely having these abortions and the doctor was doing, he worked very hard to make the women comfortable, and it meant a lot to him. And he believed in his work. And I got into a spiritual conversation with my business partner about it, non-judgmentally. And he explained to me some of the fundamental difference in his observance of Judaism, which is not very devout. And I don't claim to be either from my side, and probably why in part we were able to have this conversation. But there's another side to this story. And that was his father being bankrupted after pro-lifers firebombed and destroyed his clinic, and the insurance company wouldn't cover it. Is that going too far? You know, if you talk to those pro-lifers and they're resolved, they'll give you every reason in the world why it's okay for them to do that. You talk about taking the fight. I don't know. I think there's got to be a better way to examine than that, ultimately, especially in that case, don't you think? It does go to speak of the destructive nature of fire, though. How crazy, crazy destructive it can be. Not a shot fired. And it really did a lot to harm their family in many, many ways for many, many years after that. Never really able to financially get back what was lost as a result of all that. Crazy to think about, right? And so you think about their perspective of Christians and pro-lifers, the children who witness this kind of thing. There's an imbibed hatred that I think is to be expected, really. How could you, as a child, see your father go through that and not be pretty cynical as a result? I don't know. I think I'd be asking a lot not to. And just to circle back with the point of the story, is that pro-lifers being labeled as terrorists. Well, I wonder if some of this history doesn't, lend itself to, you participate in a certain organization and maybe the government is watching a little bit what's going on. Should the government be watching activities like that? Of course they should be. It's all part of this. You say, oh, you want to have a revolution and you're going to, call together the militia. Well, the FBI is going to be watching. I think they're going to probably have something to say in the middle of all that. So anyway, I don't know what, who's being put on what lists, but I think there is a danger to some people getting a little too fanatical, but the government seems way over heavy-handed. Look at this Catholic guy up in Bucks County that was arrested in his home for praying in an abortion clinic. He wasn't burning anything down. Bambi gets revenge in a horror revamp of Disney's classic first trailer. Did you see this? Is Disney really doing this? What is going on with Disney? They're going to take Bambi and they're going to make that into a horror movie? I don't understand why you would do something like that. Talk about self-destruction. What's with the self-destruction? Our country on a path to self-destruction? These companies, as I see it, so many of them that they're, you want to call it woke, but it's loony. Why would you, as Disney, you're going to put out I mean, I don't know. I don't know the business. Maybe they do. I just find it another interesting, it's not a big deal. It's just, I find it as another interesting story. What the heck is going on down there at Disney? You're supposed to be making content for kids. You're bringing in drag queens that are boozed up and drugged up and, living horrible lives. And let's bring the kids into it. Oh, okay. Here, and hey, remember the beloved classic Bambi? Oh, look at Bambi. The guy smashes a head. Or he has fangs. I don't know, whatever they did with this thing. It was for stoned teenagers or something like that. No longer for kids. Are the Chinese building a bridge in Central America to fuel America's migrant crisis? I found this to be really funny. Now, do you find that to be egregious? You hear this story, and I saw the photographs. They're alleging that the Chinese are helping provide blah, 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 so that this bridge can be built to continue to funnel migrants into the United States. So who, the Chinese? Is it a Chinese organization? Maybe a Chinese Christian organization, like the Catholic Church seems to be helping to fuel all this, and Catholic agencies under the guise of who knows what CIA funding. We don't even know what's going on. And that's my bigger point. Is this serious? Oh, we're going to blame it on the Chinese? This is just another cover propaganda cover story. So that Biden can come out when it gets really hot, right? In the election, this border thing blows up. Hey, Z, and his buddy Trump, that's what they'll tell you, have been conspiring to destroy it. I'm going to put a stop to it. That's what they'll tell you. That's what they'll tell you. Or something to that effect. I don't know. Cover story for what? For the real problem, the destruction of our country. A big name in American malls is calling it quits. They're talking about the death of the American shopping mall. And this is a very interesting cultural shift and really goes a long way to show how much things have really changed in this country and say 30 years since the 80s. When I was in high school in the 80s, malls were big and getting bigger. They couldn't build them big enough. And now they're mostly empty, except for a few. I haven't been down in King of Prussia. That's a huge complex down there, one of the largest in the country. No reason to go there. None. I do all my shopping online. That's a big part of it right there. But we've also lost that social value of going out to the mall. When I was in high school, that was the real reason we were going. We were going to look for girls. That's a true story. And hang out and have fun. We never really got in any trouble. We had some shenanigans, you know. But I have fond memories. People used to go walk in the malls in the winter. It was a little hub. I've often thought to myself, why can't the malls figure out a way to get people back in? I don't know. Have a buffet. I think they need to think more like Las Vegas. I really do. Like even entertainment for the kids and whatnot. You know, if you could go and drop off your kids, say, and they'd feel safe, that's another whole issue. We have the Willow Grove Mall near where I live, and this guy had a security shirt on, grabbed a hold of this girl. Luckily, somebody was there to intervene. So I think it's just a combination of all that. I would never let my teenage daughter go to the mall by herself now. When I was a teenage boy, that's what we did. We went to see teenage girls that were not had parent supervision. That doesn't go on anymore. But think about how that changes a lot of different things. A lot of different things. Hey, I'll leave you with this. Biden's campaign raised $90 million in March. Trump's war chest isn't even close. Yeah, until last night. And he had the fundraiser and blew it up. It took in like double the haul. And I say to my wife, Sandra, is that a good thing? See, when it's your side, it's a good thing. When it's the other side, it's a bad thing. We talked about the 25 million up in New York, the Biden, man, who's giving this money? Now it's working. Yeah, the capitalists arose to the occasion. Really? We're getting suckered at every damn turn. Where's that money going? Or, Chris, do you have any idea what it takes to run a campaign? I do. The payoffs that are involved. The media networks, the local networks, the pay, all got to be paid off. It's going to cost a heap. It's going to cost a heap. Biden comes out. It's so funny how the narrative has shifted and it's so predictable. Biden comes out. Yeah, he's taking money from the billionaire hedge funders while we're relying on grassroots contributions. That guy is seriously wasted, don't you think? He looks like this. Any chance I'm gonna look back on that video? I was doing my Biden impression. I think I hurt my head doing that. On that note, I better get out of here. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. I hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.